Welcome to Dirt Talk. Best content in the dirt world.
So sick.
Number one dirt podcast. Mm-hmm. So, Lori, most people don't even know that you have essentially run the show. How long have you been here? I just had to write down how long all the executives have been here. It's over a year.
Yeah, a year and like 4 months.
Yeah. So the way it kind of played out was me and Dan accidentally created a marketing agency, creative agency.
Accidentally.
Whoops.
We didn't. Yeah, it just kind of happened. And then we realized we needed some help operating this whole thing. So then that's when you came to the table.
That's when I started ruining your life.
Yes. And you've essentially for a year and 4 months ran the show. Largely. I mean, Dan and I, we put our paws in things here or there.
Fingers and pies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also feel like there's something of like when you came on, I was like, hey, can you fix this particular problem? And it's like, oh, wait, we have a way bigger thing. Can you fix that instead? Oh, wait, we have a way bigger thing. Can you do that?
Yeah.
They were like Russian nesting dolls.
Well,
we had a lot of layers.
Yeah. We hire Lori and I was like, okay, good. All of our problems are now solved. And then one of the first things she does is sit us down and be like, okay, guys, we need to hire another person. And I'm just like, Lori, that's why we hired you. And it's like so now I need to hire someone else? What the hell?
That's right. The first planning meeting that we had in September of last year, remember?
Yeah.
I was like, I need a project manager. And you were like, no.
Yeah, we just told you no. We're like, we just hired you, for God's sakes.
I'm like, just trust me. Just trust me.
And it was pretty early on. We didn't have too many folks. It was like 10 or 15.
I think I was full-time employee number 13 or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. The luckiest number.
13. Yeah, and you came from Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Chase has, if anybody's seen the branding work we've done, Chase is the mastermind behind all of it. Build It brand, every partner brand we've ever touched.
So incredibly talented.
Crazy talented. And you worked with Chase. Chase found you, brought you to us. We, even though you had just gotten a very good job, lured you over to... a startup that has no concept of what we're doing.
I don't know how you did that. I look back on it sometimes. I'm like, how did this get pulled off?
I don't know. Here we are though.
I was at my previous agency before that one for 8 years, which like in agency terms is like, I was a dinosaur.
Really
like
that, long.
It's super long. So if that says anything to you about me and loyalty and sticking around for something. The idea of me leaving a place after 6 months was like, I think everyone in my life was like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what? This isn't you. What are you doing? So.
And we, Dirt Talk, Dirt World, you had no industry experience whatsoever.
No. I mean, unless you consider like my interest in interior design and like building houses and
interior design is very similar to moving dirt.
It's
almost
really the
identical.
Same thing. Yeah. You know, if you're into one, you're into the other.
I know. Yeah. I know. That's why I was like, this is a great fit, I think.
Well, that's why our office turned out so well. I love moving dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Love the process. Interior design, just natural.
Just like a snap.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did this all myself.
I know. And I've been very impressed.
Yeah, you did all the construction yourself, right?
Everything, the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of the decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Molly, the entire time, every time I talk about it, she's like, tag me. And I'm like, Molly, I talk about you all the time. Like, you're getting so much airtime. You don't have to worry about that.
You don't
that.
Need to be tagged.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You don't want to be even.
But your story is interesting because this is what we've had to do with a lot of people is we've hired a lot of agency people who mm-hmm. have spent a lot of time in agencies because we've essentially built an agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to adjust a little bit, future state. But agency people, by definition, don't have dirt world experience.
Mm-hmm.
But then dirt world experience is very important at the same time. So it's been a process of a year and a half, 2 years now, figuring out how the hell to blend the two.
Because
mm-hmm. Dan and I, we had it figured out when we were small.
Yeah.
The scaling has been very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I remember early on, like maybe some of our most heated conversations were about what do we find first, the dirt people and make them marketing people or get marketing people and turn them into dirt people? And I always came from it, and it's largely because of my agency experience. Nothing has scared me. There isn't a single industry that scares me. Like I would never be able to do what it is that I do or what I'm best at if it was this industry. Nothing scares me. I started in PR, so like that's terrifying. Like the idea of not knowing the inside and outside of every single client that you have and then being responsible for going out and pitching them, right? And trying to get news coverage and that kind of thing, it was scary, but that was the beginning of my creative career. So I kind of cut my teeth early with the fearlessness thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of led me into, I mean, I've worked in boring finance, like, you know, done creative work for banks and credit unions and hospitals. And it just like runs the restaurants, like breweries all over the place. So it's just one of those things that if you find the right people, that's why I was always confident. It's like, if I find the right people that have agency experience, that have a little bit of that fearlessness, they will be able to learn.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been the key. And I remember early on, you were like, you got to get out in the field. You have to see what this is like. And you were absolutely right. I think at first I was like, I can do this without having to see every little minutia about it, right? You were right. You were totally right about that.
And thank you. Guys, it's the only reason I got you on the podcast.
That was very hard for me.
Yep. And now we have that soundbite forever, Alex.
we're wrapped, right? That's all that we were trying to get to.
You could isolate that, post it in the full-time channel later today. That'd be great.
All right. Let's not get carried away. wow. Why is this happening? No one told me I'd be on camera, to be fair. I wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah. You're like everybody we go and shoot out in the field. Uh-huh. No one told me about this. Yeah. Oh, we were told that everybody knew.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Are you told? Cool. Let's be real here. Are you told every time everybody will know?
Yeah, a lot of times. I mean, depends who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some times where we show up and no one knows who the hell we are or what we're trying to do or anything. And it'll be for like a pretty significant video project.
Huh. Well, yeah, I hear about that.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's super cool.
A lot.
Guys.
That's been a sticking point for me from the very beginning because I think that's one of our big competitive advantages is really, really understanding the industry. And then that's also one of the big barriers I've had to overcome is the pride in this industry. Like it's funny. I've been on Instagram for enough to have established my credibility with the people that follow me on Instagram. For them to understand, okay, yeah, young kid, but he's doing his best and I actually kind of enjoy this.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think. And so I don't get all that many negative comments. But then we've gone into YouTube and then I was reading TikTok comments this morning. Hilarious. Just getting shredded. Like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, who the fuck let their 12-year-old on a job site and this and that? And that's what I got originally when I originally started posting on the internet. Totally fair. A very fair assessment. But it's that pride component. They're just very proud. And if you're not one of them, they really get after you. I don't know what it is.
You're not wrong. I think that what I found, this isn't like to give myself too much credit, but if I'm given like face-to-face time with someone, most of the time they are able to see that I'm a human that is genuinely interested in what someone has to say.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm a fairly decent active listener, right? And I mean I'm never going to be the person that like I don't know anything about this world and I don't want to know, right? Like I just kind of if you go into any scenario with some baseline level of curiosity, I mean you can't really go wrong, right? Like ultimately these guys are proud of what it is that they do. And if you get them talking about what it is that they do, they're comfortable and they recognize like, oh, there's some interest here, right? Like I can have a conversation with this person. I can build a relationship with this person. So that's what I spent the first year doing, like trying to make these guys, regardless of how proud they were or if they saw me as an outsider, make them understand that like, I don't want to be an outsider, like bring me in. mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. that's ultimately what we're here for, right? Build what needs to connect these dots. That's what we're trying to do here. This is something we've recognized that, you know, the work that's being done is so important and the people that are doing it are so incredible. Why wouldn't you want to tell everyone about it, right? Like if they aren't comfortable doing it, we can do it. Like we can help. But you've got to be willing to open up and you've got to be willing to kind of pull the curtains a little bit to show what this whole entire thing is about for people to start to
sure.
respect and recognize.
Totally. You know? Yeah, and they've never done it before.
So right.
It's a very vulnerable position to be in for them.
Totally.
They've always just been living under their little rock. It's very nice and cozy under the rock and they sure. kind of want to stay there.
Yeah.
Most of the people that hire us, they don't necessarily want to even tell their story all that much. They just know that they need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be on social media.
No.
I'm pretty sure I have to be.
No, but that's what I'm trying to figure out how to wrap my mind around is like, guys, I don't think you understand. This is not some optional thing for business long term.
Right.
This is like having like creating an LLC or doing accounting. Like this is very fundamental to business now.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't.
It's not the olden days anymore. No,
this isn't like nice to have luxury bragging. Like no, this is just the way business is done mm-hmm. in 2021.
You don't have to do it, but you're never going to attract new talent. You're sure as shit not going to find the next generation of people to come and backfill your business to make sure that the work that you're doing, it keeps being done and being improved upon.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. The funny thing is, that's how even I find out about companies. There's so many companies in the United States, so I hear about a lot of them. But I know of most of them from social media.
Mm-hmm.
So the companies that are on social media, to me, legit much bigger than a lot of their competitors who have no presence on social media whatsoever.
Totally. Totally.
It's wacky.
Well, I mean, first half of my creative career was, you know, a large chunk of my career, I would say, was from the advertising paid side of things, right? And I mean, there's a reason why paid advertisers are after people on social media, right? Like that didn't happen on accident. How many times have you been retargeted with something that you saw? It just shows up on your Instagram. And you're like, crap. Okay. Everyone, this is just the way that the world works. It just is what it is. Humans are more engaged on social media in different ways than they are with other platforms and other media. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. And now you have like multi-device kind of stuff that happens where you're watching TV, you have your phone and you have an iPad that's in front of you. It happens to me all the time. I'm like, I don't do that. And then I look around, I'm like, this is a lot of Apple products.
Damn it.
It's like a lot.
They got me.
Yeah. I got my watch, I got my phone, I got my iPad, my laptop. It's ridiculous.
No, that's been the story of our whole company is navigating and getting that respect mm-hmm. from day one. And that's like, with the content guys, especially, you walk onto a job site with a camera, automatically, you're way behind.
Mm-hmm.
You're way behind. And you have to sell yourself to these people before they'll allow you to tell their story.
Yep.
And you need to do it really, really quickly. I mean, you have like 5 minutes to do it.
Right. Yeah.
and it's just a nonstop. The cool thing is now, enough people now know who we are.
Yeah.
So when we go on job sites,
they recognize the name.
Mm-hmm. which makes it way easier
mm-hmm.
and has opened up a lot of new doors, which is very cool. But even today, like we'll go out to coal mine. No one knows who the hell we are. No one cares who the hell we are. And yet we're there to go create a product to tell their story. It's in their best interest to do that. But
have you ever stopped and like talked to any of the guys or women that you might have encountered out in the field and then had them ask you what, like how much, if any, of the content that we've shot in the past has been staged?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but most people know it's not. I think that's why we have the respect of the industry, of the people that know us.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is why I've always been so picky with the details of the photos and videos, because it's like, guys, like if you use a grinding sound when it's a welding shot, that cancels out the whole video.
The credibility. Yeah.
Like I don't know. It seems like this little detail, but that matters.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, it's an excavator tracking somewhere, but it's clearly a bulldozer reversing sound. It's just like,
yeah.
That's why I've been so picky. And I think the industry has responded really well to that. And we've actually gained trust in the industry in kind of a broad sense, because they know we don't stage things. We don't bullshit it. We just show up and get whatever we want to get.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about that question came, I'm just thinking about some of the like unofficial headshots that there have been, right? The photos of the people that are out there. There are some that are just absolutely gorgeous mm-hmm. photos that yeah. the idea that like you just showed up with a camera and just stand there like,
That's how all of them are.
That's all that I know. But there's something really, really incredible about that, right? Like that doesn't just happen on no. accident. Like you've got to have the right eye and sort of like lens to be looking through to really, it's like, it's almost that you can tell with every photo that you or the content guys have been taking over the years, you can tell how much you love that industry. It like comes through on the other side of the camera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only way to do it.
Yep.
That's the only way to do true creative work, is you have to be emotionally invested in the totally. Work you're creating in the first place. And that's why like the best portraits, I still wish I could, to this day, I don't have the formula nailed down, but there's just portraits that I could look at all day. Like one of them's on the wall out there, guy John Lee.
I think that's the picture that's in my mind.
I don't know what it, but I could just fucking look at it all day. And I'm just in love with this guy. Like mm-hmm. his story's incredible mm-hmm. and watching him work is unbelievable. I could sit there in a lawn chair for 8 hours and watch this guy sort wood on the deck. It's just, it's beautiful. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm just so drawn into what this guy does and mm-hmm. how good he is at his craft. And because I'm emotionally invested, I can then capture that image in a way that someone who doesn't give a shit about what he's doing couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm a worse photographer, it's just this weird.
Yeah, I think so. There's something there too. Like this is not meant to be like blowing smoke up your ass in any sort of way.
That's what the whole podcast in general is for.
That's Dirt Talk. That's I know the brand.
They prepped me. Mm-hmm. That's one of my speaking points. no, but the idea though, so we talked for like a hot minute about the blend of the team, you know, the split between people that came from the agency world and maybe didn't have the dirt experience and, you know, in the reverse there. The fact of the matter is that like even the guys that are out in the field, like not every single one of them came from no. the dirt world. I mean,
no, Angel was doing weddings before.
Right. Like, yeah. What
weddings
was it? Just
skateboarding.
Chell?
Yeah, skateboarding videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Chell and Eric, right?
Yeah.
They're the two.
Yeah.
And the idea, though, that they are able to capture the same caliber, right? Mm-hmm. Like, their photos now, their video now accomplishes that same thing is a nod to you, I would say.
Sure.
Because that's not something that just happens, right? Like you have to have, call it leadership, call it whatever you want, right? Like you've got to have someone to inspire you enough to be able to see that world the same way that they do.
Yeah.
And that's not something that you just do. Like it's not easy to do. So that's
yeah.
a total credit to you.
I don't want to take too much credit because I'm a big believer in this industry is just fucking cool.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, like putting you in a skid steer for the first time. Like that, I love that. Yeah. I love that because you love it.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is so, are you kidding me? Like yeah. they just move around in these machines all day and move dirt and have fun. And like, I don't want to, you know, there's a lot of problems with operating in this and that. And sitting in a machine 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week is a lot different than us having fun in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really cool world. It's a really cool industry. And the people are amazing. The machines are amazing. The work is really impactful. And it's easy to fall in love with it once you are exposed to it. The problem is most of society is just not exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I will say it took some time, you know, I traveled with Chase a lot In the beginning, I would say if the first maybe 7 or 8 months, doing brand workshops and helping kind of facilitate that. And we always made a point, well, actually I can't say always, I would say maybe a month or 2 months into, me being here, we started tacking on a day in the front and a day in the back for us to just spend time with the partner, right? Mm-hmm. Like just spend time derping around with their people, even just like hanging out in the office for a second and just like hearing and feeling like, what does this place feel like? Right. That, I mean, that's ultimately for our craft, like the branding side of it, that's, it's so important for you to really feel like, you know, who, not just these people, but who this company is, right? Like, what do they feel like? What do they sound like, type of deal? And I remember in the beginning, and Chase and I joke about it all the time, we were terrified to just walk up to a guy out on a job site and say like, hey, what are you doing? Because we didn't want to sound dumb.
Yeah.
Right? But ultimately the best conversations we have had with guys out in the field were just because we walked up to them and were like, hey, tell me about what you're doing. Like what is this? And like, what is it that you're accomplishing within like the scope of the larger project?
Sure.
Like, can you explain it? And the amount that you learn, not just about the craft and like what it is, the actual work, but the human is, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, but it took us getting over that hurdle, right? So I think that that's one of those challenges that it's like a one-way challenge. We've thought about it a lot, like even just from a culture perspective, like how do we bridge the two, right? How do we bridge the dirt people with the agency people and make sure that we're actually building a culture of like a whole group of people, one team, not two siloed teams, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's all about taking that time though and asking and like just spending some time talking to somebody about like, what is it that you do here? I think over the last, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 months, me and Eric have spent more time than we did in the entire like 8 months before, right? Like working with each other, talking with each other, grabbing a drink with each other, just randomly talking about stuff. And I think, I mean, this is totally my assumption, but like, I think he has a little bit more of an understanding of who I am, what it is that I do, what it is I bring to the table. And I sure as shit have a better understanding of what it is that he brings to the table. And I've been beating that drum left and right. Like, guys, if you haven't spent time with him, go spend time with him. He's a character, but he knows his shit.
Yeah, you'll learn about every gas station east of the Mississippi.
Every gas station.
Yeah.
God, he loves trash ass food. He loves it. You're going to keep that in, right?
Oh, it's staying in.
Definitely.
I'm going to send it to him, just that clip.
Eric Jumper.
Hey, Eric.
Jive Turkey.
He loves Wawa.
I remember like one of the first times you guys, and this is all applicable to just Dirt World in general too, which is why I wanted to have you on. Because I think to grow the industry, grow the workforce, we need to bring people in from outside the industry and give them a pathway to learn about the industry without feeling like a total piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first times you did that was with Abe, Bulk Equipment, maybe the first time, where you just spent a day driving around Burns Harbor Steel Mill.
Yeah, we were tooling around with him and
Bulk.
Holy crap. There's a photo of me. I don't know why this is everywhere now, but there's a photo of me. It's actually, I think it's my LinkedIn photo right now, of me laughing at like a table.
Yeah.
It was me.
Tables are hilarious.
Tables are just friggin' hilarious. I cannot get enough.
Man, those tables.
They're friggin' hysterical. They're so flat most of the time.
Uh-huh.
No, that was literally my first interaction with Abe. I was sitting across the table with him and I think I had made a joke about like, yeah, get used to it. Like I'm a fast friend. So whether you want to or not, like you're my buddy.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome. We spent, he was gracious enough to, he was probably the first partner and only because we just didn't ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was the first partner that took a half of a day and just threw us in the truck and said, I'm going to show you what we do. And just, I mean, the steel mill alone was like, I mean, crazy. That I think one of my dad's first jobs like ever was in a steel mill and he worked for Bethlehem Steel.
Oh, wow.
Which was actually owned by like the steel mill that we were at used to be a Bethlehem Steel.
Bethlehem used to be the big, big dog in town.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Buffalo. That's that we were a steel town.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was amazing. Like just just getting to spend time and just like hear the way that he was talking and even people interacting with him, right? Like his people, people that weren't his people, just driving around the site, the waves here, the waves there. Like it was awesome.
Yeah, just the, those are probably my favorite experiences. You drive around with a guy like that and just the love of this place. Just the pure joy it brings an individual and how much they know about. Or like Herb's another good one.
Oh my God.
Drive around with Herb for a day is an absolute treat. Drive around to Heath Hanna.
Yep.
and spend some time with Heath is a total treat. I mean, you know, all these, everybody. It's just fun to sit there and pepper them with questions.
Yeah.
And just watch them interact with people and shake people's hands and see what kind of questions they ask their people. And I love observing that because that's what I've done since I was a little kid. I'd observe friends' parents and how they'd interact with people and this kind of thing. So just observing these guys, it's just, it's so much fun for me. I love being a fly on that wall.
Yeah. Yeah. We spent time in July. We were in Key West with Topino and I think I was just telling you, they have this, they turned like one of those vans into a mobile office, which is just like badass.
Super cool.
It's like ridiculous. It was also—
I'm surprised I haven't seen more. It's like a fantastic idea.
I mean, just incredible. Sorry, Andrew, if I blew it for you. Like, I'm sorry if that was proprietary. But it, I mean, it was awesome. And not just because of the air conditioning for July in Key West, which was clutch. But yeah, just at, we weren't around with Andrew. We were traveling around with his sister, Lizzie, who does all of their social media. Sure. So seeing her interact with like, oh, hey, so-and-so, like she knew all of these guys, right? Just from like walking up and kind of doing what we do, right? Like she's just always there with a camera trying to capture things. She happens to have the last name Topino, so right?
That's
so
it's helpful.
A little different. A little help,
yeah.
A little bit of help. But we were with their, I think he's the director of operations, and he is a guy, like, if I remember correctly, he came over from Cuba and started his career with Topino, like, and worked his way all the way up and is just like a fountain of knowledge. Like it is insane listening to this man. And he knows everything about the company too. He's been there through everything, you know, multiple generations of the Topino family, right? Like now he's working with, I think, what is it, generation two or three, right? Like, I mean, it's nuts.
Three going into four, I think.
Yeah.
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 They're 100 years old.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I mean, they're, shout out to Charlie Topino and Sons, because I'm telling you, Key West does not exist without them. Just like historically, I mean, their impact on the Keys is just bananas.
No, it's crazy. I mean, some of these, I mean, it's like a Mike Reed with Huntsville. Or there's these people and families that have built entire towns, cities, communities. They've done it.
Yep.
They've done it.
Yeah. It's insane. It's crazy. I don't think for the Topinos that I don't think I've seen a single partner that's got as much or as I don't want to say aggressive, because I feel like that's got like a negative connotation, but like as huge of a market share as they do. Like they are construction in the Keys. Like it just, nothing happens without them.
I think the only one I've seen close is Mike Reed.
Yeah.
Like he just, Huntsville, Reed. That was really it.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's the nice thing with being on an island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you're there, you're there.
Yeah. Well, they planted that flag in the ground. I'm telling you, they're a red and yellow kind of town now.
Yeah. Well, the most dominant companies too always have materials associated with it because then
They were creative. Yep.
You can be a hell of a lot more competitive than everybody else if you're also creating the materials. And they have all the concrete.
All of it.
And aggregate and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Their operation is nuts.
I'm excited to go down there. I'm going to go down there in January.
Have you been yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go this month or next month. It just didn't work out timing-wise, so I'm going to go.
I think the guys are back
in January.
Next week or the week after. They're going back for shoot number two.
I can't even keep track anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to like let the cat out of the bag, but I mean, I'm happy to be able to be more focused with them.
Yeah. Well, and that's where we're going is, I mean, essentially the cat out of the bag is we're just really going all in on video media mm-hmm. and focusing on what we're really good at and what mm-hmm. we've been good at since day one. And that's what I started the business on. That's what we've built the business on. And that's the future of the business largely is there's a lot of other stuff there that we're going to get into. And I haven't talked a whole lot about it publicly, but storytelling is the way we really accomplish our mission and further our mission mm-hmm. is, and that's one of the big problems, perception. Yeah. People just look down upon the blue collar world. People don't even know I think it's less about them looking down upon it and them just not even really understanding it's a thing.
Yeah. That's all that it is.
Yeah.
That's all that it is.
Yeah.
I come from a blue collar family. My dad sold cars growing up, didn't go to college, you know, I had a lovely life growing up, you know, there was never going to be a shade of me that was like, I don't know if I want to work in this industry because of, it's just an awareness thing. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's all that this is. It's just an awareness thing. And it's whether or not we're talking about shining a light on a particular person or the industry at large, a particular company, it all kind of contributes to this bigger story, which is what's exciting about the storytelling kind of opportunity that we have, because it's not just one storytelling opportunity. There's so many different sort of angles and ways that we can tell that story and so many different formats and all this stuff. So it's exciting to get to like dig my teeth into it and really start to think like, how do we level all this stuff up? Because we can keep doing more and do different stuff and,
sure.
you know.
Well, and it's been, and I value the fact that you don't have an industry experience more than I have before, because I think that's a lot of what we're trying to do here mm-hmm. is make a lot of this. I mean, that's what we're trying to do is get the word out about the industry to people that aren't necessarily in the industry. Mm-hmm. And this is what I get criticized for all the time. Like even this morning, one of the comments was, it's not called a bulldozer, it's called a dozer. It's like, I fucking know that it's called a dozer. I understand, but what does society refer to it as? They refer to it as a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. And I get, you understand how a scraper operation works. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pat you on the, wow, okay, good. Like I'm trying to explain it for everybody so that somebody in the industry can still appreciate what I have to say. But then also my mom can watch it and be like,
oh,
wow, scrapers, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Right.
And people, they miss that point. And you need a blend of both.
Yeah. I mean, I had a recent, you know, I find myself having slightly challenging conversations sometimes because I feel like I've really put a lot of effort into trying to bridge the gap, right? Mm-hmm. And like really, really trying to understand. And what I've found sometimes, like to your point of like, yeah, we get it. It's called a friggin' dozer if you're in the industry. But how many times have you, like the chip on your shoulder just keeps getting deeper and deeper because you feel like you're being left out of something?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to do that? Why are we fighting fire with fire here? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to be that proud about stuff, right? Like, it's okay. We'll get there. But like, why? Like, why do you have to alienate 50% of or more of your audience before you make it out the door in the morning? Like, this is nuts. You don't have to do that.
I don't know. But that's why one of our values is stay humble or be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do this without an immense sense of humility.
Yeah.
And that's every time I tour someone through the office, the thing I'd note is all the portraits on the wall in the meeting rooms, and it's just the industry's woven throughout the business.
Mm-hmm.
There's not pictures of BuildWit everywhere.
No.
And like you go into an office and it's going to be pictures of their work and what they do.
Uh-huh.
That's important. Mm-hmm. And sure, having pictures of our people there'd be value there, but there's more value in this is to celebrate the industry and remind us these are the people we serve.
Mm-hmm.
This is the industry. It's not about us. It's about these people who bust their ass every single day and frankly work way harder than we will ever work.
Sure.
And, and we're there to serve them. And if we forget that and think it's about us,
yeah,
done.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yep.
It's the humility factor's critical.
And it's not bullshit. That's the thing. Like you hear that every company says that, right? It's not about us. It's about our customers or whatever. And it's bullshit 70% of the time.
Yeah.
That might even be generous. It's not bullshit here. It's just not.
No.
This is not on accident.
No. No, well, that's why I can, if I'm criticized for, it's all about me or, trying to make a bunch of money. That's the dumbest thing you could say to me. Because I know for a fact that's not true at all. And you're just speaking out of out of your ass. It doesn't make sense.
It just shows that you're ignorant. okay, you haven't taken the 2 seconds it would take for you to do the background research to figure out who this guy is, right? Hey, TikTok, buckle up.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going away.
I just said this morning, I was like, hey, I hate to tell you, but I think we're going to probably have to start doing some stuff on TikTok.
I know. Matt's been posting on there.
Yeah. I saw a conversation with, Gary Vee and somebody else. And I don't subscribe to everything Gary Vee puts out into the world, certainly. But he was talking to someone about TikTok. And he's like, there are companies that skipped Twitter that just don't engage on Twitter. And that hurts them. If you skip on TikTok, your business is going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
He's just it is far too important to the next generation of people in the world.
Yep.
That if you don't engage there and truly treat it as a real thing, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, you are right.
Yeah. Well, they've already passed time on app. They've already passed Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Oh.
I was at, I saw Gary Vee speak 6 or 7 years ago at a Forays advertising event or something like that, a strategy event that I was at. And he was incredible then. The way he's blown up is just ridiculous. Wild. It's insane. It's just insane. Kudos to him for that. But I remember being at HubSpot's big event Inbound that they do every year in Boston. I was there maybe 3 years ago or something. And I remember maybe it was 4 years ago even talking about TikTok then as okay, marketers of the world, this is happening. Get on board. This is happening. It's going to be everywhere. And sure as shit, here we are.
How long until we make Aaron start doing TikTok trends?
That's what Matt, he keeps telling me. He's like, dude, if you just did one TikTok dance, this thing would blow up. He says that to me probably 3 times a day. No trouble.
Maybe we can do that with a piece of machinery.
Oh,
real slow motion. Just
skids to your.
I don't know, man. That would be pretty funny.
We have a piece of machinery.
We've got one. Looks like a cow.
Does it work?
It does. I got an update. It's actually totally good. They didn't have to replace anything on it.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that it needed a new engine.
Potentially, but I shut the thing off quick.
Yeah.
So. I'm a partial idiot, not a total idiot.
Hey, Dirt World community, do you remember when Aaron Witt flipped his skid steer?
I think that I was on a podcast the other day with two other guys. That was the first question. Mm-hmm. So just give us a play-by-play on what was going through your mind. And I was like,
If you were on my job site, you'd be fired.
You're never going to get away from this. Yeah.
And for all of you that are this is a serious matter. We know.
We get it.
Correct.
We get it. We know. Yeah. Do not mistake our hassling of Aaron Witt as us thinking that it was a big joke. We know. Everybody can cool it. Take a breath.
It was a content stunt. Of course. That's obviously why we did
that. That wasn't even a real skid steer.
The frustrating thing is
it was a toy.
I've been through more safety training and real world scenarios than most of these people have in a 30-year period.
Yeah.
With how condensed and how many, and sure they have more experience over a time perspective, but we don't, would our business have any success whatsoever if we were just safety, screw that. I think it's stupid.
No.
We wouldn't be let in anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not that big of an idiot. Do I think some of the rules are stupid? Totally. Mm-hmm. We talk about it on the podcast. I'm starting to be a little bit more vocal about it because the rules are just getting more and more stupid.
Yeah.
But we take it really, really damn seriously.
Yeah.
Because we have to. Because again, we speak the language of the industry. We understand where the industry's at, and we're here to serve.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the comments on LinkedIn after that, I was like, what?
I loved it.
I read all of them.
What is happening right now? What the hell is happening? Oh my God.
But I've talked about this all the time. It's like people call me stupid. Like, you're right.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yes, thanks.
I've already said it 100 times on the internet. So you're just...
Anyone that's ever worked with me knows that one of my favorite phrases is like, oh yeah, thanks for the feedback. Thanks for that feedback. Super appreciate that.
Yeah.
So coming down the road, we're going to be doing a hell of a lot more storytelling, huh? It's not going away anytime soon?
No, not going away anytime soon. We're like about to, I mean, we've been having fun. We're going to have some friggin' fun. Holy crap.
And I think, like, the whole we're just getting started thing is kind of annoying. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, you guys into cool stuff. You're
buckle
gonna do more
up.
Cool stuff.
Just wait, guys.
But it's like...
I've said buckle up at least 3 times on this podcast.
I know. That's one of my favorite phrases. And it sounds stupid when other people say it, but that's where we're at right now. It's
but,
like,
but world,
shit.
When Aaron Witt says it, it's really
buckle
fucking
up,
cool.
Buckle up, gang. Yeah.
Well, it just makes me think of like so many like... I just see people, like, guys, really exciting stuff coming up. Just stay tuned. And then they just like go radio silent and never put
anything
out there in the world.
Yeah.
And those people drive in. Or the people that haven't done anything, like, just you wait. Like, we're going to do some sick shit. It's like, we've already done some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like the video we just played for everybody last night. Like, we put together this whole documentary for the first time ever to explain what I'm talking about. It seriously, like, I was watching Netflix.
Yeah, we all had moments where we were like, holy shit. Yeah.
Extraordinarily,
I wanted to watch it on like a real screen, like not my phone or my laptop. You know what I mean?
We fired it up on the TV out here.
You'll have to watch it.
We literally did like a screening.
That would be rad. Turn all the lights off.
Hey,
we
could do that after this on your screen.
But and that's like the starting point right now. We see that. We're just like, oh, the opportunity here now is, or the training. How many videos you guys just shot in one session?
Yeah, we did 5 straight days of shooting for like all these micro learning things. We actually just reviewed maybe 4 or 5 other ones yesterday, and we've got a working session right now that.
Oh yeah.
Our guys are with the editing team right now, and they're getting together and. It's crazy. And we're going to do some cool stuff too. Like the training content that we're doing is fun because there's creative people that are behind it too. Mm-hmm. This isn't just like boring, like adult education stuff.
Totally.
There is a level of storytelling that we're bringing to this too that, I mean, we're talking about doing some really cool stuff with like 3D modeling and just to like kind of bring this thing off of the screen too. To supplement things. Cause
I'm excited.
Training is boring, right? Like that is not BuildWit though. Like BuildWit is not boring. Like if there's anything that I'm trying to do here is to not make boring content that the dirt world's going to have to sit through for hours on hours.
There's already plenty of that.
Yeah.
We don't need that. No.
If you want that, go and like pay someone $5 for it.
Well, but this is where going back to the original point, I used to really heavily value dirt world people. We need some agency people here or there, but I've learned that the creatives are essential to the process. You can't do it without them. But it's like I like the Marines. I talked to Dan about Marines. It's like the grunts in the field, they have the priority over the organization. Like the organization knows that they support those people with rifles actually out the field. But those people with rifles out in the field couldn't do shit without the rest of the organization at the same time.
Right.
And not that one's more important than the other. It's just understanding like that's the tip of the spear, but it's all.
We're all together in this.
All together.
Yeah.
It all works together. And if you don't have one piece, the whole thing falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's been interesting bringing guys from the dirt world into that world too, right? Like the world of production, especially when you're dealing with something, the type of content that we're shooting for the training stuff is very different, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's the polar opposite essentially of what it is that we're, you know, what we're used to shooting, right? This isn't just like, we're shooting like the beauty of, yes, there's that, but like there's a very concrete sort of thing we have to accomplish with this stuff. So it's been interesting finding the right guys to, and ladies, just that will be a priority. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, it's really like finding the right people to put in front of a camera to like get the knowledge out of their brains, then package it into something that is useful, but bringing them along the process of like, this is how we're going to shoot this. This is how we're going to approach this. So, because it's more than just like throw tripod with camera in front of human and get what you get.
Yeah,
like,
clip the mic and we're done.
We could do it that way, right? Like we could do it that way, but like, I promise you don't want to watch it. Uh-huh. I just promise. So I've had to have conversations where it's like, I need you to let us do our thing. Like, we are representing you. We want to make sure that we're doing this the right way. We're doing this different, though. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, like, this is not the run-of-the-mill, like, you know, post up with a GoPro type of thing. There's some of that stuff that we can do, but it's all going to be layered, and we're trying to do something different and better and cooler here. We're trying to, like, this is, like, the future of the dirt world, right? Like, we have an opportunity here. We want to level everything up. Mm-hmm. Level it up.
Oh, yeah. We're not playing small here.
No.
We're not trying to make a little bit of money and, all right, that was fun. We'll be on our way. No.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I keep making, how many times have we made the joke? Like, we created a monster. Yeah. Now we need to keep feeding the monster. Like, this is not something that we just... You know, it was like, you just wait, we're going to do something cool. And then we did one cool thing and we're like, maybe we just don't do that anymore. Like, nope. We've got several monsters now that we're feeding constantly.
I can't keep up with all the cool shit we're doing anymore.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It is. And you know what? For as much as we clown the guys and the content guys, the shit that they get done, and I've been having to beg them. I'm like, guys, Chell, I can't say this enough. I don't want you guys traveling more than 3 weeks out of a month. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have to stop. Like, we get it. Your machines, you will die. Like, stop
eventually,
doing
this. Is
this
bad.
Eventually, this doesn't work out so well. So, you know, we're not interested in killing any of our people along the way, but we're doing some cool shit. We're going to keep doing more. Well,
yeah, and that's the other thing too. A lot of people out in the field, and these are like these people, the minority. It's very rare, but they'll give us shit because it's like, wow, that's a really easy job. You just take pictures. And you're like, dude, you have no idea. Fucking clue how much it takes to go get to 4 cities in 4 days,
right?
And do that every week. Like I'm telling you, like I am pretty youthful and healthy, and it beats the hell out of me.
Yep.
So we can trade places. Like And I'd probably be shit at your job. You'd be shit at my job. We'd learn real quick. It's what they do is brutal. I mean, even like Angel and Brian stuck in DFW again. Yeah. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, how many nights has Angel slept at DFW?
Too many. And I feel so bad for that guy sometimes.
I've already said we either need to like get a lease for an apartment in Dallas. So like when that shit happens, he's got somewhere to go and doesn't have to worry about it. Or we just need to just like take DFW off the table.
The problem is if you fly American, you can't take DFW off the table.
Don't fly American.
It's the biggest hub.
Well, Aaron, we're waiting for our plane.
I know. We are.
It's true.
But then the hub is going to be Nashville for the plane.
Yeah.
Build It Airlines hub.
Yeah, I mean.
Nashville, Tennessee.
We already know. Got like a big grant. Did the city of Nashville hire you to like promote our city?
I get kickbacks from the mayor.
Yeah, I figured. You know all the,
it's like those California commercials where they have like movie stars and like professional surfers.
It's just Aaron Witt.
It's going to be great.
You come on to our city. First.
Yeah, come on down to Nashville.
Welcome to Nashville, Tennessee.
You know what? That's what we're going to shoot.
And I'm wearing like a guitar around my neck.
Just like strumming it. Can't really play.
I have ideas. Oh, I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to make you shoot a commercial for the city of Nashville.
Yeehaw.
And we're going to shoot
it. I'm happy to do it.
I want to start doing a Christmas card.
I want to start doing really stupid commercials.
Great. Approved.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. I want to do.
She's, you know, your girl. I've produced some commercials.
I want to do
some stupid shit before.
Yeah, I want to do some stupid shit.
But I've done some cool shit.
Yeah, also cool.
Well, cool, stupid shit. Yeah. Well, this was a treat.
Yeah, that was fun.
How are we time-wise, huh?
We're at 52 minutes.
52 minutes.
That's not very long at all. Who doesn't want to spend more time with me? I'm kidding. We can end this.
We did a fun podcast a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
We did, in my living room.
Mm-hmm. Does it come out soon?
I haven't listened to Kate's yet.
To a week from today.
I really enjoy the internal interviews.
Doing them in person was like a whole new experience.
It's just podcasting in person is not comparable to remote. I really don't enjoy remote.
I just feel like I'm like hosting a podcast when I'm doing it.
It's like a job. Yeah. Whereas this is, we're just shooting the poop.
Yeah.
I could do that every day.
It was fun. It was very fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus I got to host him and take him to our place.
Good news is everybody listening to this will not have the chance to listen to it.
What?
Well, I can cut. Yeah, sorry. The best way to listen to this is to get hired to build it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you want to hear Lori's exclusive interview with Alex Horton from 2 weeks ago, apply at buildit.com. Check us out.
It'll take a while, but eventually you'll be able to listen.
And
maybe one day.
Come on in. We're hiring.
I really am a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, truly.
All right, Lori. Well, thanks for stopping by the Dirt Talk Studios. We'll let you get back to work.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lori.
Doodles. Check.